Welcome to Session 2 of Tongues with Interpretation and Prophecy. And take your Bibles, please, and go to 1 Corinthians 14. According to 1 Corinthians 14, 5, it is the absolute will of God that we all speak in tongues, all the believers in the body of Christ. But let's read the verse. I would that you all spake with tongues. Okie dokie, we got that one down in the last session. What's next? But, or more and more, rather that ye prophesied, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying, building up. How is that person greater? Because it shows his great desire to grow up in Christ and to give back to the body of Christ. That's what's greater. You're moving from the me to the what can I do for thee spot. And what we're doing here today, according to 1 Corinthians 14, is the absolute will of God without a doubt. And wasn't session one just great to find out God lives inside you? It's God and Christ in you. The gift of Holy Spirit. And this class is particularly special to me because in August of 1974, when I was 23 years old, I was in Rome, Georgia, at the Tomasi Apartments with Larkin, Dillard, and Joan Bird. Sounds like a movie. Two long-haired hippies and one that had this huge afro. As big as a basketball. That was Larkin. And she was one that asked me if I wanted to hear from God. And I remember I was in the kitchen watching a coffee cup and I watched it drop out of my hands in slow motion and shatter on the floor. That simple question totally arrested everything in my body. I was on high alert. I could have laughed or blown it off, but something inside just felt like something momentous, something big was about to happen. So I walked in that little living room with the sunlight shafting through the window, and that room looked almost holy. It was about 11 o'clock in the morning, and it was just, the light was unbelievable. And after looking around for hidden speakers or wires for them to pull a joke on me, I sat down finally, and Larkin prayed. Then the three of them took turns. They spoke in some kind of language, and then in English, they spoke words that just electrified my heart. Words about the depth of God's love for us, even me sitting in that room. And if you've read my book, I Saw the Light, But He Saw Me First, A Story of Faith, Hope, and Love, you will know I was one of the most hard-hearted, crazy individuals you would never want to meet. I was off the charts crazy. If I hadn't gone to that fellowship, I was on the verge of committing myself to a mental institution because I knew I was a danger to others and to myself. And that's a pretty hard place to be. Your heart's pretty messed up at that point. But you know what? God had other plans, praise the Lord. Because God saw my true heart deep inside, not my brokenness. And he led me to that little apartment. And folks, that 5 minutes of speaking in tongues and interpretation changed the course of my whole life. That's why this class is so important to me. Without this, I don't know where I'd be today. And you know what? They didn't even teach any Bible that morning. They just spoke in tongues and interpreted. And my Holy Spirit, which I'd had from the time I was a child, had been covered under a mound of demons for over a decade. That Holy Spirit that had just been dormant, it was still in there. I just didn't know it. But boy, it roared. It raised up inside, and I knew that I had found in that little apartment what I hadn't found in all my years of reading book after book after book, searching for truth. I had found truth. Truth. Not from a bunch of highly educated people who had been to a Bible cemetery. I tell people, you go to seminary, that's where your believing goes to die. Man, I used to grow pot with two of these people. They're nothing but common folk like Peter and the apostles. Oh, they were just from Galilee. But boy, they had done something that touched me so deeply. It fundamentally changed the course of my life forever because I took inside of me that they knew the real Jesus. These weren't just a bunch of religious fanatics, mumbo jumbo. These cats had a connection to the one true God, and of that I was certain. I've never been more certain of anything in my life. And friends, that's the power of tongues with interpretation and prophecy. It can take a broken down, busted down sinner like me and take me out of the miry pit and set me upon the rock, Jesus Christ, and it can do that for you. And it does that in the church every time we do it. We build up one another in our most holy faith. It's a sign to the unbeliever. And don't ever estimate that power. Because at that point, I was a rank unbeliever. I didn't know if Jesus was even a real person, if he ever existed. And boom, just like that, reconciliation between me and God. And I've always wondered, if that hadn't happened, would I be here today? And I got to say, after 40-some-odd years, I think maybe I've touched a few other lives for God. You'd be a better judge of that than me. So just like we're about to read here in 1 Corinthians 14, God spoke to my spirit through those three believers, and I knew that God was in them of a truth because of tongues with interpretation and prophecy. It was a sign to me. I was born again, but I was an unbeliever. Stirred up my spirit. And I left everything I had in California. I was engaged, never looked back. Told the guy, I said, you can either come here and get on board with what I'm doing, or, you know, send me my stuff, which eventually he sent me a few things. And I never looked back. Man, I knew these people had the truth, and I changed everything about my life to be there, be with them, and milk the moment, everything I could get. And I tell you what, I am still electrified to this day every single time I hear the manifestations of the Spirit. Like we saw in 1 Corinthians 12, all nine manifestations work through that one same Spirit, the Spirit of God and Christ in you, our gift of Holy Spirit. And when we choose to operate it, it's like pulling out our Swiss Army knife. These are your operation of the God-given ability that's already resident within you. The word manifestation simply means that we bring something supernatural into the physical realm. And people, this is part of our makeup. This is part of our new man abilities in Christ. So just to be very perfectly clear, what is the gift of Holy Spirit? First, you get it the day you're born again. It may take you a while to figure out how to use it, but you get filled with it at the moment of the new birth. And the gift is simply your God-given ability to bring forth words from God or miracles or, you know, healings. I mean, there's nine manifestations. But in this case, the act, it's your operation of the gift inside of you to speak in tongues and interpret. We don't have to beg God or womp up a feeling inside to release the power that already lives in us. We just turn on the tap, open our mouth, and speak for God. Listen, the gift of Holy Spirit, it's like your lungs. It's like your blood. Holy Spirit is now part of you inside, and nothing can take that from you. It ain't going anywhere. You're the King's kids. We're partakers of His divine nature, which is holy and which is spirit. And I think a lot of people get confused because when we get born again, your body doesn't change. Your mind doesn't really change until you start renewing it. But boy, oh boy, your spirit man, it is a brand spanking new creation in Christ. And inside you are filled with the fullness of God. If you're filled, you can't get any fuller. And man, when you really get a hold of the magnificence of what is on you, on the inside, you will never be fearful or doubt God about anything ever again. And when you do feel that worry or doubt creeping in, you just open your mouth and speak in tongues and know that everything God says is true. We're still in 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 14, verse 1. And chapter 13, we're going to talk about that at the end of the class, is that wonderful chapter on love. Let everything that we do be done in love. And right after 13 comes 14. What an amazing thing. 13 is followed by 14. It says, follow after love. What you just read in chapter 13. We're going to read that later. And desire. This is God talking to you. This has got your name on it. And desire spiritual gifts. That's what we're doing right here. But rather, more and more, that you may prophesy. Why? It's a sign of growing up spiritually. Verse 2, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries or the wonderful works of God, secret things. Wow, those got to be pretty cool. I've always wondered when I speak those secret things in tongues, how it affects the energy in the room around me. I'm sure it's moving the demons away from wherever I live. They've got to go someplace else because they can't handle this light. And verse 3 said, but he that prophesies speaks unto men, look at this, to edification and exhortation and comfort. Friends, that is giving back to the body of Christ. Edification means to build up the one who hears your words. A building is called an edifice, to build up the one who hears in the church by way of exhortation. And you know what? Sometimes that's God telling you to get the lead out of your pants. Open your mouth. Go witness. Look unto me. Don't look at the world. Get your head straight. Other times it's great comfort. I'm always with you. I'll never leave you. I love you more than anything in the universe, which brings peace and trust to our soul. This is all good stuff, in case you're wondering. This is good, good, grade A, good. Verse 4, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. It builds you up. Every time you speak in tongues, it builds you up inside. What does it build you up? It says in Jude, it says it builds you up in your most holy faith. Why? Because you're hearing yourself exercise a supernatural power that makes you understand that you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Nothing can take that away from you. And that everything that God says in the Bible is true. So every time you speak in tongues, it edifies you. And we learned last session, it's rest of your soul and comfort, and it refreshes you. But he that prophesies edifies the church. See, that's when you go from, you know, receiving all this great stuff in yourself to wanting other people to receive from you. Bingo! And that's the verse we open with, and it tells us why we're having this class, to be givers in the church. And we open with this verse, I would that ye all spake in tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. That's two times God said that in five verses, which means it is established. When God does something once, it's out there. When God says something twice, it's established. That's back in Genesis. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Again, what is greater about prophecy and interpretation in tongues? Because you're more and more a giver. You want to give back. You're desiring to do the will of God. It's not just me, 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 me. God has given you something. He's given you a way to bless your fellow believer, and you are hot on the trail of wanting to do it, and do it boldly and beautifully and simply and with peace in your heart. But both interpretation of tongues and prophecy are there to edify the church, and these manifestations are forth-telling, F-O-R-T-H. They are not F-O-R-E-telling, which would be included in the gift ministry of a prophet. So interpretation and prophecy. I'm going to show you the difference between the gift ministry and the manifestation in a second. In interpretation and prophecy, number one, it's to bring forth in the language of the people present a message for or from God, which will edify by way of exhortation and comfort. Verse 3. Now, this message can be in first person, such as I, the Lord thy God, say unto you, or in third person, the Lord thy God says unto you, I love you with a burning love. The interpretation of tongues is equal to prophecy in terms of the message coming from God. I'll show you that in a second. But number three, this is important to remember. The message will always line up with the Word of God, the Bible. It will never, ever, ever contradict the Bible. So if you look at your little chart, it shows tongues, which goes straight up to God. And then it shows tongues with interpretation. And now, rather than going to the being, you know, vertical going to God, it's going horizontal to your fellow man, which is tongues with interpretation, and they go out, and that interpretation blesses the body of believers present. Now, right underneath it, you'll see prophecy. Prophecy is no different in terms of the message giving. It's just how the message is given. Speaking in tongues with interpretation is really when there are newer people in the group. When everybody in the group is a mature believer, you know what? Basically, you end up switching over to prophecy. Because if they just prophesied in Tomasi Apartments, I don't know what it would have done. But when I heard that language, which was beautiful, and then this amazing message that followed right on the heels of it, I knew it was God. The other thing this chart shows you is that your tongues and your interpretation will be about the same length. If you go over the length, it'll usually turn right into prophecy. But if your tongues is 8 seconds, your interpretation is 8 seconds. If your tongue is 12 seconds, your interpretation is about 12 seconds. And here's the deal. There are two types of manifestations. Inspiration manifestation and revelation manifestation. Interpretation, prophecy, tongues are all inspiration, or I like to call it inspired utterance. Inspired utterance. You know what that does? What inspired utterance does? It bypasses your critical thinking. It just bubbles up and then it flows out. Inspiration is the Greek word laleo, which is very different from revelation, because laleo means that you use your voice without reference to the words spoken. Just that's exactly what you do when you speak in tongues. You don't know what words are about to come out of your mouth when you speak in tongues. They just flow like a faucet. You don't see or hear it first. It comes out as you speak. Just like speaking in tongues, except this will be in English. The key is move yourself out of the way. Don't think, just speak. Don't think, just speak. Don't get your mind hooked up in there. Now, the revelation manifestations are word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits, and they are revealed to your spirit and shown to your mind in words and pictures and feelings. They come to you through your spirit man. But as we saw, the inspiration manifestations are for the edification of the church. They are to be coveted or desired. And they are for the learning of everyone present. Just like they learned me good in the Tomasi Apartments, I learned that God was in those kids of a truth. And all the manifestations operate by the same great principle. God, who is spirit, teaches his creation in you, which is now your spirit, and your spirit teaches your mind, and it is manifested in the senses realm as you act. And I know I just said that don't use your mind, but you know, in order for God to put the words in your mouth, he has to go through your faculties. It's just they come through it instantaneously. I mean, there's no pause in between there, which is why when you speak in tongues and interpret, the minute you stop speaking in tongues, don't take a breath. Do not pause. Do not think. Go right into the first English word that pops out of your mouth and begin to speak. Because when you get that first drop, the rest will come. It says in verse 12, "Even so, for as much as ye are zealous," really want to have the ability to operate spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. People, God asks us to be zealous and to seek to do this. That's what you're doing here today. This is a beautiful thing. This pleases Papa greatly. Verse 13. "Wherefore, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray or believe God that he can interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." And look at what Paul says down in verse 18. "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all." There is no downside to speaking in tongues as much as possible, because the more we operate the manifestations of the Spirit, the more it's easy to operate the other eight manifestations. You know, it's easier to change the direction of an object in motion than an object that is stationary. I mean, there have been days when I've spoken in tongues throughout the day for 8 whole hours. I remember when I didn't have a radio in my car and I was driving from Colorado to Georgia, there were days I spoke in tongues for 10 hours. Would I think and ponder things of God in between? Yeah. But for 10 or 12 hours, I did nothing but speak in tongues. Verse 19 says, excuse me, "Yet in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue." Because that's not going to edify them. It may puff me up. It's not going to edify the other people. And verse 21, "In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. Yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord." God is saying right here in the New Testament, hey, this is that prophecy in Isaiah 28. It's come to pass on the day of Pentecost. I've done this thing. It's a done deal, and nobody can undo it. I don't care how many pastors and preachers out there want to naysay this stuff and say it's not true. They'd have to take a knife and cut out all of chapter 12 and 14. Boy, they love 13, but not so crazy about 12 and 14. Verse 22, "Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But to them that believe not, but prophesying serves not for them that believe not, but for them which believe." So whatever happened to me in the Tomasi apartments, that sentence has always been gibberish in a way to me, except for one thing. It's a sign to help people believe. Whether they haven't accepted Christ or whether they have and it just got buried under the garbage of their past, boom. It helps people see that God is in you of a truth. Look, I was born again when I was a child. I loved Jesus. I drew pictures of Jesus all the time. I drew pictures of the Sacred Heart. I loved going to church. I loved singing in the choir. But because my grandfather was a pedophile, I got lost. By the time I was a teenager, I was in an alcoholic rage for over a decade. And spiritually, I was born again, but I was unmoored. I was unhinged, actually. But that morning at the Tomasi Apartments, when I heard speaking in tongues, interpretation, and prophecy, it awakened that Holy Spirit that was dormant inside me, and I knew that God must be in me of a truth, warts and all. I cried out for joy. Wah! And what happened to me there that day is right there in the Bible in that funky verse 22. And verse 25 says, "And thus are the secrets of the heart made manifest, open." And so falling down in his face, he will worship God and report, "God is in you of a truth." That's exactly what happened. That describes my experience to a T. I didn't understand it, but it hit me like a freight train. This motley crew of misfits who happened to know Jesus and had a connection to the real God did for me what 150 books could not do. What a shocker. And all the manifestations work the same way. They're our operation, your operation of the God-given ability. And we just spoke in tongues in the last session, and you know that if you can speak in tongues, you can interpret, you can prophesy, you can heal, do miracles, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. If you can do one, you've got all nine. You've got the Swiss Army knife. You're just going to pull out some new blades and sharpen them up today. And I tell you, when you get yourself and your ego out of the way, operating the manifestations is easier than falling off a grease log backwards. You know, when I teach, I got to really think and focus. When I manifest, all I have to do is relax in the Lord and focus on the face of Jesus. It is easy peasy. So I want everybody to repeat after me, "I can do all things through Christ in me." Say it again, "I can do all things through Christ in me." Say it again, "I can do all things through Christ in me." And the primary key is just to focus on Christ. Focus on you loving your brothers and sisters the way God wants you to love them. This is an act of love, not an act of ego. That's why the first verse says, "Follow after love and then desire spiritual gifts." Why? Because Papa asked us to. That should be enough. But hey, it also builds up the body of believers. It motivates one another to a greater walk with God. It brings rest to our souls. And boy, in my book, it's a sign to the unbeliever that God is in you of a truth. Man, can I relate to that one, because it changed the trajectory, the path of my whole life. All you have to do is relax and trust God, because He shall, without a doubt, put His words that He wants spoken into your mouth when you open it and use your faculties of speech. When you get that first drop, just let the second drop flow, and you'll just, instinctively, you'll feel the cutoff point. But you're the one who has to breathe. You're the one who has to use your vocal cords. And when you speak forth, just like speaking in tongues, only the interpretation will be in English. And everything we do here today, it's going to be done in love. Father, I thank you for this practice session that we're about to have, that it's to your glory and to your grace. Father, help us not think about us, but about you. Because when our focus is on you, that's when truth comes through and we walk in the Spirit. Thank you, Father, for this gift to the church. In Jesus' name, amen.